Drawing room over here.
Oh, hey, come on in. My guest today is a musician and a poet that's been absolutely bounding from strength to strength over the last few years. Back in 2015, Sampa the Great released her debut, The Great Mixtape, and immediately became a breakout hit. Festival shows and support slots for the likes of Kendrick Lamar and Thundercat have given her a chance to show off her live credentials to a huge audience. And last year's Birds and the B9 recently took out the Australian Music Prize. Sampa, welcome.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
So you've got music in your family, right?
Well, my dad and mom won't admit it, but we're pretty musical.
Come on, tell me what they were doing.
When my dad was younger, he used to DJ, actually, and play the piano. And my mom used to be a dancer. But, of course, all of these are alleged, and they will deny every bit of this information.
So you're an Australian musician now. We always love adopting good musicians, making them our own. But your family is Zambian. You were raised in Botswana, spent a few years in the US. Do all these places influence you, particularly musically?
I reckon yes, because I'm Zambian, born there, raised in Botswana, and all the influences around me, they just influenced the way I listened to sound. It was different. It sounded different. There were more drums, more bass. And then the stories around my life experiences very much influenced the stories that I give out in my music as well.
What are those stories that you want to tell?
The people around me, where I'm from, the people who raised me, what we love, the music we love, how that is influenced by the world and influences the world. The journey to Sampa Tembo, who is 24 now, who was 19 then, finding out who I am, what I want to do with my artistry, going to different parts of the world and finding out how they express their music. Just different information of a growing person.
Was hip-hop always the style for you?
It became the style for me when I was about 9 years old. I walked up into my cousin's bedroom and heard Tupac, Changes. And the storytelling around that was amazing to me because I just started out doing spoken word and rap. And so I just figured that I could write my stories as well as put music behind that. And then that became a huge influence for me.
And you're a poet as well. Do you see them as the same part of your job, or do you explore them differently?
Both differently and as the same thing, because essentially rap is rhythm and poetry. So without the music, to me, it's just spoken word and poetry. And with music, it becomes hip hop and rap.
You've talked before about needing to find your space in hip hop, right? That you didn't have to be the hard woman character. Talk to me about that.
I think more so is, how do I express myself in this genre? This genre that stemmed from people speaking out on things that were unfair. And, you know, I couldn't find how I would express myself in hip hop. And I've been growing in that, and I've truly found how I do that. But that was a struggle in the beginning for me, especially because I like different genres of music.
Why did you head off to the US and Australia? Was it just a chance to explore, spread your wings? Tell me about that journey you made.
In the beginning, it was for university. I'd wanted to study music and cinematography, and I headed out to the US with my best friend to see if that was a possibility. And then that kind of turned into homesickness / this is a lot of information for me. And I ended up going back home and just staying there for a little while before my sister was like, I'm actually going to head to Australia and, you know, study my uni, which came out of nowhere. And I was kind of like, yeah, I think I've reached a point in my life where I'm not doing anything and I need to, you know, explore more of what's out in the world. And I decided to go with her.
So both times you had friends and family around you.
Yeah.
I think that's smart, by the way. Did that help?
It helped a lot. It helped a lot because here was this push from either my friend or my sister to go on their journey. And I ended up finding a lot of information about myself. So it really helped to have them beside me as I was doing this.
Now, The Great Mixtape really kicked off your musical career. How much did that change your life plans? Do you think you still would have been in Australia otherwise?
Well, the plan was to do my degrees and go back home. And when the Great Mixtape came out for my parents, it was like, huh? And I was like, no, it's a school project. Don't worry about it. They still think, well, they, you know, it was not in the plans. It was something that I wanted to do, something that I hoped that I would achieve. But when it did happen, it was just, it took a life of its own.
Is there a bit of pressure from your family to come back home?
No. My dad is like, please go, stay there, find yourself, your life. I need this house and my wife to myself. And we're like, okay.
I like your parents. But like, your dad was a DJ and your mum was a dancer. Yeah. It's all making a lot of sense, to be honest. On RN, I'm Patricia Karvelas. Samba the Great is my guest in the drawing room. Hey, we're about to hear one of your songs. Tell me what we're going to hear.
We're about to hear Black Girl Magic, a song I wrote for my sister. She's 19, turning 20, and just, you know, growing into herself as a woman. And I just wanted to write something for her to inspire her and to let her know that, you know, she is beautiful and she has purpose. And this is a song I wrote for her.
Let's hear it. This is Sampa the Great, my guest in the drawing room with her song Black Girl Magic.
Broke Debra, you are come. Magic a bitch styling. Who black magic excellence? Poof, you need reminding. Getting round and losing some. Uma, where she back again? You will never end the rain. We keep multiplying. Running through the evidence. There's just no denying. Some be by deficient. It just keep on shining. Who that lady got some limp? From my mama, got the gift. We just pour some peace in it. At least we keep on trying. Hold on my youth, hold on my youth.
That was Sampa the Great with Black Girl Magic, and Sampa is my guest in the drawing room. So you took out the Australian Music Prize earlier this year.
Yeah.
How did that feel?
That was pretty epic. A bit of a shocker when we got to the shortlist.
Really?
So many amazing artists, but it resonated. The project resonated. So.
Why do you think it resonated?
That's a good question. For me, it was telling my story and a lot of stories that don't get to be heard. And it resonated with people. A lot of stuff that is in there, everyone experiences every day. And I guess it's a level of vulnerability that, you know, people, you know, feel.
It was an all-female shortlist this year, which is quite something really, isn't it? Bit of a moment.
I mean, we have been making good music, Patricia. I mean, it was
just taking a while for people to notice.
We notice, you know. We don't need lists to let us know.
But still, taking out the Australian Music Prize, does that sort of thing, I mean, I've talked about it in terms of your own emotional reaction, if you like, but in terms of artistic accomplishment, does that make a big difference for an artist?
I reckon it does, because it is based on just the artistic merit of your project, nothing else. And so knowing that fact to me is amazing.
We've also seen Kendrick Lamar take out the Pulitzer in the US. Yeah. Is it heartening to see people taking hip-hop so seriously? It feels just like that moment for women, but that, you know, the world's kind of going hip-hop. It's pretty good, that stuff.
I like that stuff. I like that stuff. No, it's about time. It's influenced a lot of genres and has been influenced by a lot of genres. So it's about time.
Why has it taken so long, though? Because if you think about hip-hop, this is not a new genre. You know, this isn't like, oh, it's started this amazing new thing. I mean, in fact, it's really been part of the sort of music ecosystem for a really long time. Yeah. And, you know, before Kendrick Lamar, like, there's like, I can think about 30 people who were, you know, I don't want to say something too contentious, but just as good. Yeah. But it's taken till now. Yeah. Is it a particular kind of global moment where people are thinking a bit differently about music?
I don't know, because at 9 years, hip-hop was huge to me. So that is a good question as to why it is now being acknowledged.
Is your music also cutting through back in Botswana and Zambia? Has your dad been, you know, throwing your discs out to local DJs?
Zambia is kind of taking its, I've been tagged in a lot of things from Zambia, which is good, which is great. But my dad definitely sends me blog posts every day from Zambia, which is it's interesting.
Tell me what he sends you. I'm trying to hold back, but I can't stop being completely obsessed by your father. I don't know why. Tell me about what he sends
you. It's funny because it wasn't impressive in the beginning. It was just like, oh, artist, okay, cool. And then it just turned into, look at this blog. Look what they said about you. This is good, huh? So what are you doing tomorrow? Situations. Oh, yeah, the show was good, huh? Yeah, what were you? Okay, that's good. Like, it's good. It's great. It's great for me. It's nice to see my dad very much invested in music. It's not accounting, which I know was the first choice, but it's good. It's good.
You thought about doing a bit of accounting on the side just to make him happy?
Oh, no, he thought of me doing accounting.
Oh, I'm aware of that, but do you want to sort of impress him, do a bit of an accountancy degree on the side?
I mean, I think the sound engineering degree is enough, you know?
You got one.
Yeah. I've tried. I've really tried.
Now, a couple of years ago, you worked with Estelle and Raki on a project, and you talked about being intimidated at the time.
Yeah.
Are you more comfortable now when you work with, you know, that sort of collaborator?
Yeah. Now more so. Before, confidence levels very low, and a lot of you've done this, this, and this, and it's amazing. So me as an up-and-coming artist, I don't know if I could sit next to you, record next to you. And now it's more so I understand my artistry, I understand my strengths and my weaknesses, and I know how to work well with you. So the confidence level definitely risen.
Is that just something that also comes with age?
Yeah, you know, they're very confident young artists as well, though.
That's true.
I think it comes with understanding your artistry and how you express well.
I always ask my musical guests to bring in a song that they love. What have you chosen for us?
I have chosen Angelique Kidjo's Summertime for you. She does a cover of Summertime.
Why do you love this song?
I love it because I love her interpretation of something that we all know, and I can feel, you know, her heart through this song without even understanding the language that she does it. And I reckon that's what music does. It resonates with people around the world, and you don't necessarily have to speak the same language or, you know, be from where the person is from to understand.
Let's hear it, but first, let me thank you for coming in. Sampa, thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
That's Sampa the Great. She's been my guest in the Drawing Room, and her latest album is Birds and the B9. And she'll be touring all over the country as part of the Groove and the Moo. Check online for details. Now let's hear the song that she's chosen for us to hear. This is Angelique Kidjo with Summertime.